Hey, Clips fans, what's going on? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes,
we're coming
we
at
are.
You 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Finally got a notch in the dub column.
Yeah, we'll take it, dude. That was a fat dub last night.
Beat the Heat pretty soundly. We won 3 out of 4 quarters.
Pulled away late.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we'll have a recap of that for you, and then we've got our Thirsty Thursday segment, which we do every Thursday, where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for. And then we're just going to wrap things up with a little bit of kind of Clippers culture talk. There's been some trade mongering.
That's a good word. That's the exact word for it. There has been some trade mongering out there, and we're here to address it.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So your two hosts, William and myself, managed to reverse jinx the Heat.
I give us probably 50% of the credit for this win.
I give Tobias the other 50%.
Yeah.
We got the win over the Heat last night. It was a 111-99 win in Miami after what can only be described as a horrifying travel schedule.
Dude, that's so rough. How can you have back-to-backs on opposite coasts?
Back-to-backs on opposite coasts with an earlier game on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
So the Clippers got in at 4 a.m. Miami time, and then Doc wisely just gave them the whole day off before the game.
Oh, wow.
He was just
there's
like,
no practice.
There's no. He's like, we're not doing anything. We got in at 4 a.m. We just lost.
Yeah.
Like, let's just chill. So shout out to the NBA scheduling Illuminati for trying to put us behind the eight ball with this one.
That was a good call on Doc's part.
Very good call. Like, it would have been horrible if he was like, all right, get your stuff on. We're running.
Especially because it seemed like the team was not gelling previous to this game.
Yeah, and early on in the game, it looked a little dicey.
Yeah.
Hit you with some quick stats. Tobias should be traded. Harris put up 31-7-6 on 63% shooting.
Yeah, he was really electric.
God, he deserves a hell yeah. Trez came off the bench and added 16. Excuse me. Lou had 13. Still looked a little bit rusty. We'll get into that later down in the segment. And then Avery Bradley continued his pretty decent stretch of play.
Yeah, certainly decent.
Yeah, with 12 points.
He matched his contract.
Yeah, he did match it. Yeah, that's the William Updike rule. You should be paid $1 million for every point you score per game. That's not a bad rule.
It's not bad.
It levels out. People are only really, like, Harden is the only exception. He'd be making, what, 35 mil or something this year?
Worth it.
But worth it if you're averaging 35 points. For the Heat, Hassan Whiteside had 22-16. Richardson had 17-5. And Tyler, $50 million contract Johnson put up 15. He makes a lot of money, bro.
That is wild, that contract. That is really, really wild.
So we actually lost the first quarter, which you and I watched a little bit of, and it was kind of nervous making.
Yeah, yeah. Not great calls.
No.
Like, I mean, from us. This wasn't a ref problem.
Yeah.
This was like, there were just some really kind of poor offensive possessions.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was taking everybody a little bit of a while to click, but once they did, really went well. I think the big key to this victory was actually like controlling the offensive glass.
Yeah.
We got 21 second chance points as opposed to their nine.
That's crazy.
So even when shots weren't falling, like the field goal percentage was 52%, which is fine. You know, it's not like great, but it's fine. And we only shot 32% from three.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like rebounding on the offensive glass is what helped us pull out this win.
Yeah. So they took a bathroom break in the third. They scored 18 points in the third.
Yeah.
To our 23, which we didn't exactly crush them there, but it helped. And then in the fourth, our defense clamped down and we put up 34 points in that quarter.
Yeah.
Which was huge. We went on a late run in the second. We went on a 13-3 run in the second, which I think staved off embarrassment.
Like, yeah, yeah. It was starting to get a little bit out of hand there in the second. We were able to tie it up before the half.
Yeah. The crazy thing, so in the fourth quarter, they shot 41%. We shot 75% from the field in the fourth quarter.
That's awesome.
We hammered them inside. We only took 3 threes. I think we missed all 3 of them in the fourth quarter.
Oh, just in the fourth.
Just in the fourth, yeah. And just, I mean, just pounded them on the inside. Our defensive rating averaged out to 106.8.
Which is not good.
It's not good, but also like, you know, we put up like 115 a game usually.
Yeah.
That's an average rating. I think we put up
like 106 to 108.
Ooh, all right. Well, as long as it was higher than the defensive rating. Throw that note out if you're listening. The pick and roll defense still looked a little shaky.
Yeah.
Like, there was some stuff early in the first quarter where you and I were just like, "What, man, this could be bad right now."
Yeah, I think that's just a recurring thing. And I don't know if it's, like, the adjustment to new schemes. I've never thought of Doc as, like, a defensively-minded coach.
No, definitely not someone who I would say hangs their hat on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's been somewhat of an issue. It's especially surprising just given some of the tools that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I guess that, like, therein lies the conundrum. If you put three great on-ball defenders on the court, they're not necessarily, like, if they can't do that one thing that they're good at, they maybe aren't the best at other schemes.
Team defense, for sure.
Yeah.
Huge shout out to Tobias Harris for this game.
Oh, yeah. He was ESPN's fantasy player of the game. 31 points, 7 boards, 6 assists.
Just fantastic. I think he set a career high for points and a half, too. He had 22 at the end of the first half.
That's awesome. Wish it was at the second half, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
Andrew Grafe had a great article in the LA Times about... So after the game against Dallas, AB and Patrick Beverley kind of like... They didn't get on Tobias, apparently, but, like, they were on the bus, and they were like, you need to forget about this. Like, forget about that game. I think the quote was, take your effing headphones out, or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Tobias said, he quoted, we kind of flushed it out. Like, dang, we couldn't make no shots. We brought some light to the situation and was able to come out today and have the good energy. So I think, you know, you mentioned Doc had said there was, like, drama or whatever.
Yeah.
A couple games ago.
Yeah, that was the victory over the Spurs.
Yeah, I think it was maybe just some of this tension.
Yeah.
That, like, I think that was an older person using the word drama wrong also.
Probably.
But yeah, it was just nice that, like, they could hash this out and be like, everyone missed shots.
Yeah.
You're our offensive guy. Let's move past this. We got a few, you know, kind of easier games coming up. So this could start, like, a pretty nice stretch for Tobias.
Definitely.
Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose.
Definitely. It was a pretty solid team effort, though. With Trez pitching in 16, Lou Williams with 13. The young guys, Rome and Motley, had 8 and 7, respectively.
Dude. People are loving those two on Twitter, and I am here for it.
Jerome Robinson was actually the standout for me from this game.
Speak on it.
He was all over the place, and he's larger than I remember. Like, physically, he's larger than I remember.
Every picture of him makes him look almost scrawny.
Yeah, but he's, like, much more built than Shea.
For sure.
I don't know that he's quite as tall, but he's, like, he's stouter for sure.
Definitely.
And he's got some pretty solid defensive instincts. Like, he's getting out there. I guess last night he was in foul trouble.
He had five.
He had five fouls, but, like, I really liked the hustle. He took a charge like a man.
Yeah, he's taken a couple of those where it's like, and these are charges.
Yeah. these are a man's charges.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess it translates more to the eye test than maybe the box score indicates, but, like, he was just, like, all over the place, like, in a good way. Like, I felt like he was active on both sides of the floor on every possession that he was out there for.
You would say he's almost unstatable.
Oh, death unstatable. And 16 minutes, I mean, that's got to be his season high.
Definitely.
But yeah, really, really solid stuff.
Yeah, and he went 2 for 4 from deep, which is exactly what we want him to do.
100%.
His shot looked very smooth. His off-the-ball movement was really good, too.
Yeah.
On the offensive end, he was finding space, which was great. I think we're all here for more Jerome minutes.
Yeah. He's looking like a young Tywall with a better shot out there.
Yeah, we'll get to Tywall in a second. Speaking on Motley had 7 and 4, which was nice. His passing out of the low post was something I like to see. He found Lou, I think, for an open three, which was really cool to see. Gortat's a good passer down low, too. But Motley, because he's also kind of an offensive threat, I think his low post passing helps us a little more.
Yeah, that's fair. There's, like, more tools.
Yeah.
And there's more that the defense has to think about. I think that's definitely true. I keep quoting his per 36 for the night, which would, I believe, be 28, 16, and 4.
Sounds about right. He does need to slow down a bit.
I've noticed the same thing.
He plays really quick, which is great.
I've noticed the same thing. Yeah, he I think that he goes until there's like not really gas in the tank, and that's like the only that's the only limiter really is himself.
Yeah, he puts up really quick shots, but it's like I think it's easier to teach someone to slow down than it is to speed up.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good problem.
It's like your sketchy uncle who's always talking about taking the governor off cars or whatever is.
He's like, no,
take the governor off. You can just run it till the car dies.
No, yeah, we have a golf cart, took the governor off, and I just drive that thing down to the store. Shout out to those uncles. I'm one of those uncles. Sindarius Thornwell had a very funny stat line. He played 6 minutes, didn't take a shot, didn't even take a shot, didn't register an assist, didn't register a foul, zeros across the board, ended up +7. Shout out to Sindarius.
The ultimate net neutral.
Yeah, the ultimate net neutral. Going off to the young guy, Shea was really aggressive early.
Yeah, he actually he got a charge call in the first half.
That's got to be like the first of the year.
Oh yeah, he looked really aggressive off the bat. I don't know if that's something that they had talked about, like his recent kind of passivity, but it was not there last night.
Mm-mm. I think Doc maybe talked to him, but he had an interesting quote about how he told Shea, he was like, "Hey, keep shooting, and when the guys are looking at you to stop shooting, I'll deal with it." Like, he's like, I'm the one telling you to keep shooting.
Yeah.
So keep shooting.
Definitely. And that's what I want to hear. That's all I want Doc to say. 100%. That's all I want to hear.
Shea ended with 10 points on 5 of 10 shooting. No shots attempted in the second or fourth, which is kind of odd.
Oh, that is bizarre.
But, you know, he's still a rookie. Game flow perhaps didn't lend itself to him taking more shots. All in all, I mean, a bit of a shaky game in the beginning.
Definitely.
We were kind of worried about it.
I thought that this was the perfect setup for us to lose a game that's otherwise winnable.
With the schedule, with how we'd been playing, it definitely felt like it was maybe, I mean, really the time difference situation. I was like, this could be a scheduled loss.
Definitely.
We only turned the ball over 7 times.
Oh, that's solid.
Which is impressive. I think that's 2 games in a row with only 7 turnovers, so they're 14. But the weird thing is they actually beat us on points over turnover 17 to 11.
Oh, wow.
So that's something we're going to have to work on when we play better teams. A funny note from this game is at one point the Heat announcers were talking about Hassan Whiteside, and they said that Hassan's issue this game was going to be matching the pace of Gortat. How lazy of a player do you have to be when Marcin Gortat, no disrespect to Marcin, he's been very solid these last couple of days.
Yeah.
Not someone who I would describe as a speedster or who's going to tire out any other centers with his pace.
No, that's not really the first thing I would think of when I think of Marcin, but you know, good for him.
Yeah. Someone described Hassan.
Also, real recognized real for those Heat announcers.
Yeah. Someone described Hassan Whiteside's stats as empty calories, which I kind of agree with. Yeah. It seems like he puts up good games when they
overstatable.
Lose. Exactly. He is truly overstatable. Let us know what you guys thought about this game. Fantastic to get the win. Hated that it was at 4:30 Pacific time.
Oh, it was great because I got to watch it at work.
Ah, USOB. I was commuting the whole dang time. Coming up after this, we're going to be doing some Thirsty Thursday segment. But first, if you have a smart speaker, tell that dang smart speaker to play Podcast Locked On Clippers.
Do it.
And if you're following multiple Locked On Podcast Network podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything into one feed. It's great for local stories. You get some longer clips on the Instagram story feature. Again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, so today is Thursday. That means it's time for Thirsty Thursday.
We need a sound effect of like
I'm parched.
We need like a morning DJ drop or a sound effect of like a beer getting cracked open. But people aren't going to know what's a beer, so it's got to go beer right when it cracks open. So I'm thirsty for something that a longtime listener, John Cooperman, said.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Coopster. He used a great word about our Spurs victory, which was he liked the desperation the team had.
Yeah.
And I'm thirsty for more desperation.
I agree. I think that we're going to have to bring that in and night out, especially given the lack of star power, even when our roster is healthy.
For sure.
Not that we don't have guys who aren't like legitimate candidates for NBA All-Stars, but not quite at the level of other teams.
Not
in the Western
solidified.
Conference. Totally. So I think that that's something that we got to bring, obviously, to every game. And it's pretty apparent, you know, from the tip if it's there or not.
That's a really good point.
And I wish that, like, we could develop it later in game, you know, like if we're...
Ease into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem very hard for this team, if we start poorly,
to right the ship.
Yeah, like last night, we didn't play poorly against the Heat. They were up by 8 at one point in the first quarter, I believe, at least the first half. We weren't playing poorly. We were still kind of matching them.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to like dig ourselves out of some truly insane hole.
Definitely.
And it was clear that we were playing with confidence.
Yeah.
Tobias looked really strong early. Shea looked strong early. It seemed like those guys set the tone and we were able to kind of right the ship.
Yeah.
But the desperation thing, I couldn't agree with you more. When Gallo comes back, I feel like we kind of lost a bit of the us versus the world identity we had.
I agree.
It seemed like that, for whatever reason, slipped away. Maybe we got too comfortable. Maybe we were worried about new defensive schemes or something like that.
Yeah.
But if that comes back, we're going to be a successful basketball team.
Definitely.
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, when Tobias plays well, he's had three out of the last four games, he's played phenomenally.
Yeah.
So this could be a really cool time. I mentioned in the last segment, we play, who do we go next? We go...
Bulls.
Yeah, we go Bulls, Kings, Lakers, Pistons, Hawks are thrown in there, and then the Raptors. So, like, out of those six games, we could win five of them.
Yeah.
The Raptors game might be an issue. I'm just being a realist. I don't think anyone else out there thinks that's insane.
Definitely.
So Tobias could rip off like a nice couple of games in a row. And I think he might drive some of that more because everyone just gets excited on the team when he's playing better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the desperation, it's a perfect word for this team. And we don't have to be playing poorly to, I think, channel into that desperation.
Yeah. I guess just piggybacking off that, I want to see more. I'm thirsty for more Tobias playmaking. We know he can score. We know he can rebound the ball. We know he can get to the line a little bit. But he led the team in assists last night with six.
What?
And I'd just like to see him getting his teammates more involved.
Yeah.
Especially on nights like he had against the Mavs where shots weren't falling. He wasn't taking a whole lot of attempts, wasn't getting a whole lot of touches on the ball. But I'd like to see him like calling for the ball and like making plays and making his teammates get involved.
That I could not agree more. I didn't realize he led the team in assists. That's awesome from last night.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's a guy who, and we're not asking him to make like no look behind the back Milos type passes.
No, I'm talking about just fundamentally getting your teammates involved.
Yeah, I think that's another thing he could maybe learn from Lou. Because when Lou and Trez are out there last night, I mean, they have a connection on the pick and roll.
Definitely.
That is undeniable anytime they're out there.
Yeah.
If Tobias could form that, if he and Gallo start setting more screens for each other, which is something we talked about really early on in the season.
Yeah.
Of them being specials, that'd be good. And I think the addition of Motley adds another guy he can maybe start a connection with.
Definitely.
How many assists would you like to see him maybe get per game from here out?
I mean, I think if he averaged 6 to maybe 8, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. He's at 21 points and 8 rebounds a game right now.
Yeah. So, and I think if he had like 6 assists on top of that, I think that'd be really solid.
21, 8, and 6 would be beautiful for this team.
Yeah.
That would be so awesome. Yeah, shout out to his playmaking. And I'm not sure if it's a tentative thing why he doesn't want to do it, if he's afraid of turning the ball over maybe.
Possibly. He did have at least one bad pass turnover in that loss to the Mavs.
Yeah, so he might be kind of timid about that, but it does seem like it's maybe getting flushed out a little more.
I think it's also just reading, just knowing your teammates and where they like to get passes and stuff like that. That's something that can always be improved. And then just reading, like being able to read the play, being able to read what the defense is doing. And like, you know, he's been in the league for a while, but I still think it's something that, you know, he's never quite had the full keys to an offense.
He's been the
way
scorer
that he does now. Yeah.
The scorer. So it must be really hard to be like, oh, damn it. Like, now I got to add this whole other thing to my game that I've never been asked to do before.
Yeah, definitely.
Man.
And especially in scenarios where, like, I wouldn't even mind if his points per game average dipped a little bit, if instead of taking some of these like long range twos, he was able to find a teammate for an uncontested shot.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Another thing that I'm thirsty for, that apparently is the opposite of a lot of people, I'm thirsty to not trade for Mark Gasol.
Okay, yeah. What's going on with this, you guys? multiple people are...
Today!
Yeah, are talking about trading for Mark Gasol, who is on the market, so it's not like an insane thing. Just the packages, some of the packages that we've received as speculative ideas
insane.
Are borderline insane.
I'm going to read off one of the more insane ones. I'm not sure if this guy's taking the piss or what this guy's doing right now, but here's a trade package idea. Robinson, Gortat, Milos, and a first for Mark Gasol.
This is insane.
It's lunacy.
This is absolute insanity.
It's absolutely insane. I don't want any part of that trade. Mark Gasol.
He's 33 years old.
He's still averaging. The thing that's funny is like, you know, he's still averaging. Sorry, I have the notes here. This guy was really trying to hammer along this point, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, he's a guy who's playing for a team that's not winning right now, which isn't 100% his fault.
Gasol is averaging 15, 8, and 5. Why would, like, cool. Yeah.
Why are we giving up so much for a guy who's 33 years old, didn't play most of a season last year?
Has back problems this year.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just don't. The guy said, another trade idea was Gallo and a future top 7 protected pick for Mark Gasol.
That's absurd.
That's absurd. We're already so short on the power forward, small forward reserve line.
Yeah, I agree. Our wing depth is not really where it needs to be to have success in the playoffs. And do I think Mark Gasol can move the needle for us?
A tiny bit, possibly. But it puts again that weird log jam that we kind of have at guard of like, so we kind of got all these specialized guys. Marc Gasol's good, but he can't play.
He's also like
a full game, you know, like
a full NBA season.
Yeah.
Also, you run into the issue of he makes a lot of money. And
yeah.
While if he stays with the Grizzlies through to the summer, which I don't really anticipate him being moved by February 7th.
No, I don't.
Not unless the Grizzlies are willing to accept a much smaller package than like initial talks. I don't even know how it'd be very hard to even make that salary work.
Yeah, like Gallo for him straight up works, but I don't want to do that.
No, that's just not very advantageous because Marc Gasol makes even more money and
is not as good
and
today as not, of right now.
Yeah, as of current for sure. And then so if Marc Gasol is on the Grizzlies in the summer, he's probably going to turn down his player option. But if he is on a team like the Clippers, contender,
I'm taking this money.
Of course he's going to opt to stay in and make $28 million or $26 million dollars. And then that kind of kaputs a lot of our you know, starry-eyed dreams for this free agency.
Yeah, I got another tweet at me right before we started about moving Gortat or Gallo. I'm kind of on the fence about moving Gortat. He's been solid the past couple games. I think I'm not like itching to get him off the team.
No, I just don't know. Once again, it's just one of those things. Like, that sounds like a middling move.
Yeah, and Gallo, you know, he is made of glass, whatever, but so far, he hasn't missed that much time. So it's like, let's ride this out this season.
He's been really solid. I got to disagree with you here. I love Gallo. I don't want to see him not be on the Clippers. I also don't want to watch another Clipper play more games in their street clothes, like more games in their street clothes than I ever get to see them in uniform. So I think the time to sell on Gallo is now.
Right
it's,
now?
It's time to sell high. If you could get a contender to give you a halfway decent package for that, you know, whether that's a couple serviceable players and a pick, fine. I don't know really what we could get that would like be an equitable trade for like another thing.
That's where I'm at. I guess
did present itself that Jerry thought was appetizing,
I mean,
saying take a bite.
What Jerry wants to eat, I'll have that.
Yeah, I'll have what he's having.
Coming up after this, just a little bit more Clips talk. So there was a couple articles today, Clipperholics and Clips Nation, both fantastic publications, came out with pieces today about how AB, Avery Bradley, has been playing better lately, which is fairly true.
It is true. No, he's playing a lot better. He's looking more engaged on defense.
Yeah. Lucas Hahn put it well. He's a plus defender, but he's not as good as everyone makes him out to be.
I agree.
So he's definitely better than average, but he's not some lockdown. He's played great defense in the past couple games against some shooting guards.
Yeah.
Which has been great. Also, the last 5 games, he's putting up 12 points on 41% shooting from 3.
That's really solid.
Which, if you ever watch his shot, is kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
He's got a herky-jerky shot.
He really does.
But so we got the Bulls, Kings, Hawks. It seems like he could maybe continue this trend a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, if he can just consistently give us 12 points...
If that could happen, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I think I tweeted about it.
I've just never really seen, thus far from what I've seen of Avery Bradley, the consistency isn't quite there.
Exactly.
And I don't know if that's a physical thing as his body ages. I don't know if that's a mental thing. where, you know, maybe he gets in his head on the offensive end, or maybe he, you know, is like ball gazing or something on the defense and not really there. But yeah. I haven't seen the consistency yet.
That was my thing. So last year he only played 46 games, which is something I kind of forget.
Yeah.
So getting back into the rhythm might be kind of hard, especially if you're considered a two-way player. But I had a tweet about it. I was like, it's great seeing all this Avery Bradley love, but I just feel like it's like when that terrible significant other comes back and they're like cool for
They've totally changed.
They're cool for like a week and a half. Yeah. And you're like, oh, we're going to the zoo. They're taking likes in my interest. And then like...
they're just boofing daily.
Yeah. And then 3 days later, they're like hurling a whiskey bottle at your head or something like that. Like, I'm super excited for how he's playing now, but it's still tepid. Like, he's still been overall a net negative on the year.
Yeah.
But if he can continue this run...
And his defensive rating isn't even that great right now. I think it's like in the 109 range.
Tell you what, it's not as good as Seth frickin' Curry. shout out to Seth Curry. Someone just pointed out a very interesting thing on the game. Going back to the game last night, some interesting DNPs, Ty Wall and Mike Scott.
Oh, yeah. So we didn't get into the Ty Wall thing in the Heat recap. What's going on there?
I have absolutely no idea. He's not hurt.
Yeah.
He'd been playing not horribly.
No. I mean, once again, inconsistent guy, but he's a young guy.
Yeah. And his offense, I mean, he made some threes. Like, his defense was good. It's just very interesting. DNP.
And he's a hustle guy.
He's a hustle guy. It's a very, especially when we're going to run these three-guard lineups, it's kind of a trip he had to DNP. Mike Scott, I'm less surprised about.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
He's been playing a little worse. We have Jerome and Motley who can kind of take some of his minutes and have, some, like, you know, Jerome have his shooting skill set.
Yeah.
Might be a better shooter than Mike Scott.
Especially just with the wing deficiencies. I like Ty Wall being able to be, like, kind of a small ball three.
Yeah. He's such an offensive threat.
He's been more consistent, more consistently good than Sindarius has so far this year.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's really surprising to me that we didn't see him last night, and I hope that this trend isn't something that's going to continue.
It's I don't want to say baffling because he's not like a crucial piece to us, but it is just a little confusing. We could have used him last night.
Yeah. Like, I also think long-term he could be a piece. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, long-term, absolutely. And so it's like, and this might be an issue where we have like an embarrassment of players who are all rotation worthy.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, like, we won, so it's not like it was that detrimental that these two guys didn't play.
Totally.
But it's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
I hope hope we get some playing time against the Bulls. I hope everyone scores 10 points against the Bulls at least.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be so tight. Guys, that about wraps it up for us. Tomorrow we're going to have two freaking game previews for you.
Can you believe it?
I hope you can. We got the Bulls versus Clippers game to preview. We got the Kings versus Clippers game that's on Sunday, I believe. To preview.
Shout out to our sister team, the Kings.
It's going to be hard to kill our sister on Sunday. We got the Pactiv rankings. We got Love, Marry, Kill. Are we going to live stream tomorrow?
Could be.
Could be.
Stay tuned. We'll let you know on Twitter.
Guys, we've been Locked On Clippers. We come at you Monday through Friday. Please like, rate, subscribe on iTunes. Really helps us out. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William, the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.